Today is the 24th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is wonderful to gather again around the global campfire and take the next step forward together. And so let's do that. Let's step forward together, and our next step will lead us, well, obviously, to where we left off. That happens to be the book of 2 Chronicles right now. And today, we will read chapters 11, 12, and 13. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mustered Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 able young men, to go to war against Israel and to regain the kingdom for Rehoboam. But this word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God. Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, this is what the Lord says. Do not go up to fight against your fellow Israelites. Go home, every one of you, for this is my doing. So they obeyed the words of the Lord and turned back from marching against Jeroboam. Rehoboam lived in Jerusalem and built up towns for defense in Judah, Bethlehem, Etam, Tekoa, Bethzur, Soko, Adullam, Gath, Marishah, Ziph, Adoraim, Lachish, Azekah, Zorah, Aijalon, and Hebron. These were fortified cities in Judah and Benjamin. He strengthened their defenses and put commanders in them, with supplies of food, olive oil, and wine. He put shields and spears in all the cities and made them very strong. So Judah and Benjamin were his. The priests and Levites from all their districts throughout Israel sided with him. The Levites even abandoned their pasture lands and property and came to Judah and Jerusalem, because Jeroboam and his sons had rejected them as priests of the Lord, when he appointed his own priests for the high places and for the goat and calf idols he had made. Those from every tribe of Israel who set their hearts on seeking the Lord, the God of Israel, followed the Levites to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah and supported Rehoboam, son of Solomon, 3 years, following the ways of David and Solomon during this time. Rehoboam married Mahalat, who was the daughter of David's son Jeremoth, and of Abihail, the daughter of Jesse's son Eliab. She bore him sons, Jeush, Shemariah, and Zaham. Then he married Maacah, daughter of Absalom, who bore him Abijah, Attai, Ziza, and Shelomith. Rehoboam loved Maacah, daughter of Absalom, more than any of his other wives and concubines. In all, he had 18 wives and 60 concubines, 28 sons and 60 daughters. Rehoboam appointed Abijah, son of Maacah, as crown prince among his brothers, in order to make him king. He acted wisely, dispersing some of his sons throughout the districts of Judah and Benjamin, and to all the fortified cities. He gave them abundant provisions and took many wives for them. After Rehoboam's position as king was established, and he had become strong, he and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord. Because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem in the 5th year of King Rehoboam. With 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen, and the innumerable troops of Libyans, Sukkites, and Cushites that came with him from Egypt, he captured the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. Then the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and to the leaders of Judah who had assembled in Jerusalem for fear of Shishak, and he said to them, "This is what the Lord says. You have abandoned me, therefore I now abandon you to Shishak." The leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, "The Lord is just." When the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, this word of the Lord came to Shemaiah. Since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but will soon give them deliverance. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. They will, however, become subject to him, so that they may learn the difference between serving me and serving the kings of other lands. When Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem, he carried off the treasures of the temple of the Lord and the treasures of the royal palace. He took everything, including the gold shield Solomon had made. So King Rehoboam made bronze shields to replace them and assigned these to the commanders of the guard on duty at the entrance to the royal palace. Whenever the king went to the Lord's temple, the guards went with him, bearing the shields, and afterward they returned them to the guard room. Because Rehoboam humbled himself, the Lord's anger turned from him, and he was not totally destroyed. Indeed, there was some good in Judah. King Rehoboam established himself firmly in Jerusalem and continued as king. He was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel in which to put his name. His mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonite. He did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. As for the events of Rehoboam's reign, from beginning to end, are they not written in the records of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer that deal with genealogies? There was continual warfare between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David, and Abijah, his son, succeeded him as king. In the 18th year of the reign of Jeroboam, Abijah became king of Judah, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 years. His mother's name was Maacah, a daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. There was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah went into battle with an army of 400,000 able fighting men, and Jeroboam drew up a battle line against him with 800,000 able troops. Abijah stood on Mount Zemaraim in the hill country of Ephraim and said, "Jeroboam and all Israel, listen to me. Don't you know that the Lord, the God of Israel, has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, son of Nebat, an official of Solomon, son of David, rebelled against his master. Some worthless scoundrels gathered around him and opposed Rehoboam, son of Solomon, when he was young and indecisive and not strong enough to resist them. And now you plan to resist the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hands of David's descendants. You are indeed a vast army, and have with you the golden calves that Jeroboam made to be your gods. But didn't you drive out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and make priests of your own as the peoples of other lands do? Whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams may become a priest of what are not gods. As for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. The priests who serve the Lord are sons of Aaron, and the Levites assist them. Every morning and evening they present burnt offerings and fragrant incense to the Lord. They set out the bread on the ceremonially clean table and light the lamps on the gold lampstand every evening. We are observing the requirements of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. God is with us. He is our leader. His priests with their trumpets will sound the battle cry against you. People of Israel, do not fight against the Lord, the God of your ancestors, for you will not succeed." Now Jeroboam had sent troops around to the rear, so that while he was in front of Judah, the ambush was behind them. Judah turned and saw that they were being attacked at both the front and rear. Then they cried out to the Lord. The priests blew their trumpets and the men of Judah raised the battle cry. At the sound of their battle cry, God routed Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. The Israelites fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hands. Abijah and his troops inflicted heavy losses on them, so that there were 500,000 casualties among Israel's able men. The Israelites were subdued on that occasion, and the people of Judah were victorious because they relied on the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Abijah pursued Jeroboam and took from him the towns of Bethel, Jeshanah, and Ephron, with their surrounding villages. Jeroboam did not regain power during the time of Abijah, and the Lord struck him down, and he died. But Abijah grew in strength. He married 14 wives and had 22 sons and 16 daughters. The other events of Abijah's reign, what he did and what he said, are written in the annotations of the prophet Iddo. Romans 8:26 through 39. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Psalm 18, 37 through 50. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You humbled my adversaries before me. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them. To the Lord, but He did not answer. I beat them as fine as wind-blown dust. I trampled them like mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have made me the head of nations. People I did not know now serve me. Foreigners cower before me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. They all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From a violent man you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing love to his anointed, to David, and to his descendants forever. Proverbs 19, 27 through 29. Stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A corrupt witness mocks at justice, and the mouth of the wicked gulps down evil. Penalties are prepared for mockers, and beatings for the backs of fools. Okay, so as we continue our journey through the book of Romans, Paul is laying out this argument, unpacking piece by piece, laying it all out on the table, and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus with his fellow Hebrew people, explaining it in terminology and in a context that they understand. We've reached the point now in this letter that, for the last couple of days, we've been seeing some of the implications. And they are not insignificant implications. They are huge. For example, in yesterday's reading, Paul told us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. That's a pretty big implication. I mean, that one thing right there, I don't know, we could spend the rest of the day thinking about that. Spend the rest of our lives thinking about that. Paul also told us that God wasn't accepting us so that we would be his slaves. He accepted us and adopted us into his family so that we could be his children. Children that are intimate enough that we can come into his presence and say, Abba, Father, like this term of endearment, that's Papa or Daddy, like this close, intimate fellowship of a parent and a child. And then he goes on to say, since we're children, like if we're God's children, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. I mean, this is massive stuff here. So in today's reading, Paul explains that Jesus was the firstborn of many, many to follow. That there is a new thing that God is doing, and Jesus is the first. Mankind and God are no longer separated by sin through Jesus. Jesus died and was brought back to life, resurrected, reborn into life. And those of us who believe are reborn into life, again, no longer separated from God by sin, but reborn into the family of God where sin has no claim at all. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And what are the implications of this? According to Paul, if God is for us, who can be against us? Or I continue to quote from Paul, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So all of us face challenges in our lives. Some of them are big, some of them are small, but we face challenges that we have to endure. And often when we have to endure, we begin to doubt. We begin to doubt that God is trustworthy. And so we begin to move away or run away, when actually the move is to run toward. If what the Apostle Paul is saying in this letter to the Romans, if this is true, and I believe that it is, then we are safe and we have found what we were looking for. Our role is to believe and trust, and trusting in faith can be a struggle. And if you are struggling right now, then hear these words from the Apostle Paul, read straight out of the Bible. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so, my brothers and sisters, this is either true or it's not. But if it is, the implications are massive and should revolutionize the way that we approach any given day. We have to believe this is the truth and then live as if it's the truth. God's not going to abandon us. We have been reborn into the family of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. God loves us. May we not spend another moment wondering about it. And Father, we come into your presence in awe of what you have bestowed upon us. What we are reading here in the letter to the Romans, that your Spirit is within us, that you have adopted us into your family, that we have intimacy with you to the point that we can call you Papa, that nothing can separate us. These gifts are too good, so good that there aren't words. And so often we ignore these gifts or live as if they aren't true. Forgive us for that. We've slowed ourselves down when you have offered us the ability to run free. Forgive us for the ways that we do not trust you. And Holy Spirit, come and make us aware of how intimately involved in our lives you are. We love you, and you love us, and you love the world. May our lives reveal you as we trust you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base, and that is where you can find out what's going on around here, so check it out. The Daily Audio Bible app will do all that the website will do and a lot more, so check that out. You can download it free from the app store that works with your device. Check out the community section. This is where there are different links to get connected on social media. This is also where the prayer wall lives, which is a resource for all of us all of the time. Doesn't matter what's going on, when it's going on, we always have a place we can come to our brothers and sisters, share our story, and ask them to pray for us. And we always have a place to go to pray for people as we take this journey as a community. So that, the prayer wall, can be found in the community section, whether in the app or on the web. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone who will listen, any time of day or night, anywhere on this planet. And to build community around that rhythm, the global campfire, showing up for each other every day, if that is life-giving to you. And thank you, humbly, for your partnership as we move through the summertime. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, everyone. I'm responding to a call out that was played out on the 19th of July. This is for the caller who was calling about his brother who'd recently come out of jail. He'd been there for 24 years, dear Lord. I just want to pray that you give this man the support and the help he needs, him, his family structure. May him and his brother, you know, be absorbed into a good Christian community. I also want to say as well, hearing your call, I can hear that you have so much love and so much understanding of your brother's situation. I think that, you know, even by you calling in, by the things that you said on the call, God is already blessing you with the wisdom and the knowledge to move forward and be able to help your brother's situation. I just pray that, you know, you will continue to be a good Christian influence in his life and to let him know of God's great power and work to overturn any situation. I pray that he'll be, you know, embraced by yourself and other Christians around you guys, and that, you know, he uses this time that God has given him to turn his life around and to break free of any bondage that's held him back in the past. And today, you know, we declare a new day, a new opening for him in terms of victory, in terms of success, and that he won't recognize himself compared to his past self, and he'll be such a testimony for God's great works and wonder. In Jesus' name, amen.
My name is JD. I'm from VA. First time on here, I'm praying because I have an addiction to porn and I feel like I'm a lukewarm Christian. I've been having this struggle for years with porn addiction and going back and forth with my Christian, with my salvation. I just asked this prayer.
Hi, Dad family. My name is Sydney from New Mexico. This is my first time calling. This is a really big step for me. I just wanted to call in response to Ethan from Texas. He called in on June 12th. He was just talking about how he's had a really hard time breaking away from the things of this world and that Jesus has been working in his heart and he knows what he needs to do, but he's just having a really hard time. The morning I heard that just so happened to be a morning that my heart was just as heavy as yours, Ethan, and I know exactly what you're going through. God is transforming my life hard and fast right now, and there is absolute spiritual warfare going on in my life, and I know that to follow Jesus and to turn my life over to God, I know what I need to do, and I need to make some really difficult decisions, and I'm worried that I will lose somebody that I love very much, but I know that my burden is so light, but it just feels heavy. So Ethan, I pray for you, and Dad family, I ask that you would please continue to pray for Ethan, and please pray for me. I just ask that God would continue to transform me and show me the way. He has given me the ears to hear and the eyes to see. I just need the strength to follow through. So thank you all so much for your prayers. God bless you. And
hello, Daily Audio Bible family. I'm so thankful for DAB every day. This is Starting Over Sister. Would you pray For my husband and myself, I'm struggling with starting over and over and over and over when we moved to restart our livelihood and business 2 years ago, and it's been one setback after another, and I fell while exercising in May, and I have half of a faux elbow, and I have pain constantly and can do very little with my arm or hand, and it's going to be a long recovery. So I need the Lord to encourage, to heal, and to give us wisdom for good decisions in all these things that we're wrestling with. Thank you so much.